There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Divine.
Hi, Petty Bitches.
Hi, Petty Bitches.
This is Davina Divine.
And this is Victorian Secret.
And we are back out of lockdown and it feels fantastic.
Oh, except you look terribly hungover. I mean, you look in bits.
I am tired, I have to say. It's been a whirlwind back on it, I have to say. And it's definitely, I think going out of your living room back into reality is definitely taking its toll. It's like, I'm glad I went back to the gym when I did, because I would have been actually probably like deceased in Massey's funeral home.
I'm just like, devastated for you though, because you obviously went and got a hydrofacial, and that's wasted now because you're that dehydrated, you're not hydrated anymore at all.
Oh, look at this skin, honey. It's glowing. It's still glowing. To be honest, I haven't actually drank that much since I've been back. Like, there ain't been time for that.
Did you not?
Like, I did on Thursday, I had a few, and then on Saturday, I had a couple, but like, nothing major. Like,
okay, because on Thursday, I took the name of your show very literally. So, okay, let's start off with
smart, but you take every night as like Thursday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, it's like you and you drink quick. Like, yeah. I'd sit on a drink for ages.
Oh, that's not all you'd sit on. A lovely chair as well.
That's it, yeah.
She loves
couch.
Seats.
Couch, because I like my space.
For those who don't know, in Ireland now, we can finally have entertainment. We were allowed to have entertainment for a while. However, it's really hard to make it work. And the George started back their shows on Monday. But I went to Davina's show on Thursday, and I was very giddy. Girl, because I have not gone to see the show in so long. And the name of the show was Thirsty Thursday. I went prior to that for dinner in Roberta's, had a few cocktailians.
Lovely.
And there was no getting me home, but I was locked by the end of your show. Locked.
Yeah, like much more drunk than I ever kind of set out or intend to be. So it's kind of impressive, but at the same time.
Well, the main thing is that I just wanted to be there and support you. Be that through putting money behind the bar. Be that through screaming and shouting while watching you on stage.
Yeah, no, it was really nice. It was great to be back. Very, very surreal. Mm-hmm. Everyone kept saying, oh my God, you must be so excited. And I honestly just felt like numb. It was like such a strange feeling. Yeah. And strange is the key word, because it just felt like it's such a build up, like an anti-climax. It's kind of like, you know. And it was great. It was actually really good fun, but it was a really strange experience. And then just being back, obviously back there working on Saturdays and then on Bingo on Sunday. And it didn't get any kind of less strange as the time went by. Because even like, so Saturdays now, we have people coming up, so we have to use mic condoms.
Now, how do you put those things on?
Well, I split one. That's the first one I was
Did you?
So so there's definitely a technique. Show me your technique, Madonna. And yeah, so that's been quite interesting. Like, but it's like the whole concept of karaoke is like, I didn't think people would be kind of up for getting up and singing again. People were.
I said that to you. I was like, I just don't feel like anyone's going to get up and sing, especially now, because it's a more intimate crowd as well. Like, it's not like full capacity. I'm presuming there's about 130 people that they can fit in seated. I'm just guessing. I've no idea. So it's more daunting, I think. The bigger the crowd, you're like, yeah, I can do this. Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, it's very weird because you feel like everyone is kind of sitting and like listening to everything that you say. It's a bit like, it's like giving a TED talk.
like the judging panel on like X Factor. Do you know what I mean? Sharon Arsburn down there like going, oh yeah. No.
No, it is a bit like people are kind of just sitting around like literally just kind of listening, which is also kind of fun and a bit weird. But the only time I don't like that is when it's, when they're not chatting, when it's like cueness. Yeah. When it's really like very quiet, when there's like, there's no chitter chatter going on around, that freaks me out. Cause it's like,
well, there was none of that on Thursday from my recollection, because honestly, but I think I was heckling, everyone was screaming, and it was like, you know, it was like when kids are let out into the playground, that's what it kind of felt like on Thursday. I was like, everyone's just going absolutely mad. Tell me this though, because there's some karaoke songs that like before you definitely would have been rotted by. Like, I'm gonna have a guess, like Black Velvet.
He rots me, yes. There's a few on the list that are like, they're just like not allowed to happen. And then the odd times, actually one girl, for ironically, let it, she got slipped through the net the other night.
What was
because
it?
Because sometimes they'll put in a song, and then when we call them up, they'll say, okay, I want to change my song. And then they'll change to the said song that I hate. So there's one on the ones that I cannot listen to anymore. I can't listen to Rehab by Amy Winehouse.
Okay, that's very good. Not. Yeah. No, I don't like that either.
What else can I not listen to? I can't listen to Two Out of Three Ain't Bad.
oh my God. That's such an oldie as well.
It's an oldie, but we used to have this one guy who used to come to the show who shall remain nameless, and he used to sing that every fucking week. Ugh. And I wanted to burn my eyes out with cigarettes by the end of it. I was like, no.
Oh my God.
So that's off the list. And what's another one?
What did the girl sing though? You said it slipped through the net.
She sang Rehab. She changed her song to Rehab, and I was like, oh, you little wow. But she, you know, she was actually really nice and really cute, so she got away with it.
Yeah, fair.
So that was okay. I let her away with that one.
And then we finally did a show together on Sunday for Bingo, which, to be honest, I was expecting. I thought you were going to be wild. I was like, okay. I left the house, and I was like, okay, well, what time will I get home at? I was like, oh, it's probably going to be very late. And then there she is having a cup of tea when I came in.
I was actually home in bed, like fed, watered by like midnight. I was like, no, that's like my weekend done now. I'm finished working. Mm-hmm. Cause like, you know, I think when every night becomes a crazy night, then you just don't enjoy. And that's one thing I think that I loved about the lockdown was when we did our things, it was a real like novelty. Mm-hmm. Whereas before it was like, you know, you'd have like, you know, Thursday, you'd start on Thursday and you'd wake up, it'd be Monday, and you'd be like, where, like, I just lost 4 days. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, it's so unproductive. And I just don't know how I function through that haze. And I'm like, I want to be, well, now listen, this is a disclaimer. This is my goal. I'm trying to be a bit more productive. Just like, you know, not wild.
I'm not going to be funny here, girl, but we just come out of a year and a half lockdown where you worked quite a lot in a lockdown from your bedroom. I think it's okay to say you are productive. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I know. I just mean like, you know, I just don't want to be like living the hangover lifestyle. I just can't be coping with that.
I give you 2 weeks. This is part of your brand, bitch. The original blonde bombshell hungover.
Oh, listen, don't get me wrong. Like, I will go into town. Like, Thursday is my, it's always good to get me on a good night. The first night of the week is always like, that's the best night. You know, that's like first night of holidays. I always give you first night of holidays realness. And then come the end of the week, I'm like, get me on the plane. I want to go home.
Oh my God. Mom's out and then she's dead. Well, come here. I'm in Manchester. I got in this morning. I had one of them horrible bloody 6 a.m. flights. Tomorrow starts a tour with Heidi and Closet. Now, Davina doesn't watch Drag Race after like season 6, I think. However, because Heidi went so viral, you kind of know some things about her beyond the fact that she
whistles. All I know is that she has a gap in her teeth. That's all I know.
Okay, well, I brought a second microphone so that I can literally, I'm going to headlock her one day and be like, right, come on, Heidi, we're off to do an interview for the podcast. So be ready, basically.
Oh, is she going to come on?
No, I'm going to make her. Like, she won't have a choice.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that sounds good. What else? Do you know, actually, speaking of Drag Race, somebody commented on one of my photos saying, it's like if Ahura and Chad had a baby.
Oh.
Well, and I said, and I literally replied, said, I don't know who either of those two people are, but thank you. That's all I said. And I was just like, there was no response. But like, who, I think she meant Chad Michaels, did she?
I presume so. Yeah. Like, Ahura is like all over the internet at the moment because she said a load of shit online about one of the, well, in a video, about one of the season 3 girls who was on season 2. So like,
Is this Drag Race UK?
Yeah. Mm hmm.
Okay, never see. I could not tell you what she looked like. I think they experiment like physically or whatever, but mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you anything mm-hmm. about those people, nor do I care. I'm so over it. Like,
well, both have very like plump, youthful faces. So you know, maybe that's the stunning key there. Stunning.
I'll take that. Whatever. I couldn't give a shit. Whatever. I'm living it. I'm not watching it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, very fair.
Actually, things have, like, this week is absolutely mental. Like, I feel like, you know, we're out of lockdown like a week and now somebody's like lit the fuse and the dynamite is like burning. I'm doing this like panel talk in Trinity College on Tuesday, mm-hmm. which is actually going to be, I don't know, interesting.
What's the topic?
It's all just about kind of LGBT life and how things have changed over, you know, the last decade and what changes needed coming forward and all this. There's like one of the ministers is there and a few different LGBT people are going to be at it. So it's part of Rainbow Week. It must be, it's Rainbow Week. What is that? Is that like the first, that's like college starting back, is it?
Yeah, I think it's like the Gay Freshers Week. It's kind of like Rainbow Week. Is this in person? You're going to be in a room with people?
In person, on a panel, having a chat.
God,
it's actually hilarious, and it's right before my show, so I have no problem doing that, and I love to talk about the gays, so
that's cute. Like, I last time I was in Trinity College, they gave me, Detox, and Catchy some sort of medal for that was to do with like Dracula. I don't know what it was, and we talked about gender identity, and it was very serious. Also, we'd all been out the last night very hungover.
Well, actually, now that you mention it, it's like when I got the questions sent through today, and some of these things after, and some of the questions, like, obviously it's some serious topics, but I do always think sometimes things can be taken so seriously. Mm-hmm. I think that can actually kind of damage, like, just things moving forward. You know, if everything is so fucking serious all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
There has to be a little bit of breathing room.
So when you say serious, do you mean as in, like, you know, if people make mistakes or if people...
Yeah, if people make mistakes or if people, like, just, like, progressive. Like, and I think as well, intention is everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, obviously when people do really shitty things and horrible things, that's not cool and that's a no-go.
Yeah.
But I do think that some, like... what would I say, like, some certain groups and mm-hmm. certain kind of, like, you know, parts of our community just are so serious all the time.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I come from a place of like reality, living the life out there on the fucking front line, and I've seen it all.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sitting in an office typing up statistics, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I know what you mean. Like, they're definitely, obviously things are moving forward, but at the same time we need to be able to not take ourselves too seriously.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I actually think when people have too much fear, they almost fuck it up even more, or else they get so frustrated that that there's no room maybe to make mistakes, that they're like that it becomes something else. Do you know what I mean? Like, it actually doesn't become about trying to be correct.
And everything sometimes feels like, certain people feel like everything is a struggle constantly. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everyday life is a constant struggle. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that's not the case for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I get what certain people are saying, but sometimes those topic conversations can be very serious. So I want to bring a little bit of lightheartedness to it because it should be fun as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
No,
absolutely. Come here. What have you been watching though? What's on your telly? What are you obsessed about?
What am I obsessed with? I am obsessed with the new Irish documentary. The new Irish crime drama series called Kin. Have you seen that?
Oh, no, I haven't. I heard Thomas Cairn-Byrne is in it. And he's been sharing clips.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know. Oh, my God. Yes, now. Oh, my God. I'm only realizing that now.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I'm only coupled onto that now.
Yeah.
But it's about the Kinsella family that are like kind of drug lords in Dublin. And it's all about, you know, all the like Dublin shootings that have happened in real life here in Dublin.
Yeah.
It's kind of based around them. It's like two kind of gangs going to war and it's all just heating up. But there's all these like underlining kind of like little stories that are coming out.
Okay.
And I love things that are like filmed in Dublin that you recognize places you go to. And it's the Irish way, the way they talk. And I just quite enjoy that if it's done in a good kind of expensive way.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, totally.
The cast is brilliant. There's like Maria Doyle Kennedy, Aidan Gillen, and there are like there's a few like big rides. And
oh,
so that always helps. And you know, I'm a sucker for like a gangster.
Definitely that fits your blonde bombshell image as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Oh, she wants a bad boy. Well, I'm telling you all, there's no badder bitch than Davina. So watch out, bad boys. And also, to the first one that gets the first crack of the whip after a lockdown, God fucking help you, because you're in for trouble.
Amen. So yeah, so I'm really into that.
We need to sell your born again virginity post lockdown. That's it. We're gonna do like a little like thing where the highest bad boy gets the prize.
I think that might be false advertising at this stage.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we were the morning after the morning show. Have you watched? Did you watch the first series, The Morning Show?
Yeah, is it back? Is it?
It's back. Yes, it's back, and they're kind of releasing the episodes slowly. But and I don't know if this is controversial. I love season one. I thought it was like especially around the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really good topic. And then when I heard they were coming back season two, I was excited. But I don't know if
it's a bit shy. Was it?
Well, the second episode was better than the first, but like, I don't know. It's just not right now. It needs to heat up a little bit more.
Yeah. I loved the first season, but mostly like I just couldn't stop looking at Jennifer Aniston. The face doesn't really move, or she's kind of talking like this all the time as well. Like, honey, you know what I mean?
Well, she has definitely a bit of a Rachel face, you know, like, yes, from Friends. She's like, she does the Rachel eyes. But I did notice the other day when I watched episode two that her face is definitely moving more.
Oh.
And I noticed she's got like, I wonder, does she smoke? My guess is no, but it looked like she had like little smokers.
I don't think she drinks. I think she's more into just a bit of heroin. Do you know what I mean? Just a light bit of heroin, not smoking. Could you imagine Rachel from Friends and the crack pipe?
Chasing the dragon.
Oh my god.
I missed the dragon.
Oh my god. Y'all, if any of y'all comment on Minor Davina's post saying you missed the dragon, we will send a screenshot to the other one being like,
oh my god. It's actually become such a joke at this stage because it's like, A, gone fucking years, and B, you didn't fucking support it. So
you didn't go. And what happens when you don't go to things? They go away.
They close down. Yeah. They close down. So I've been getting stuck into them. What else have I been into? I haven't seen Everybody's Talking About Jamie. I know you were at the premiere.
Oh yeah, you need to. Like,
that's on my list.
Yeah, it's easy gay viewing, like absolute gorge.
Yes.
I'm almost finished 9 Perfect Strangers. I'm obsessed with Melissa McCartney's fashion in it. She had a big dirty wear in the episode that I watched this week with one of the other people who I think played the husband to Will in Will and Grace for a while. I think that's what he played. So I'm hooked on it, and we're talking Nicole Kidman getting a bit les with one of the other people. Like,
I saw that. I feel I'm a little bit tools down with 9 Perfect Strangers. It just started to lose me as it went on, and I was like, it wasn't moving fast enough, and I was like, where is this fucking going?
Yeah.
And then I could see there was another episode there for me to watch, and I was like,
I'm okay. So
what about my Marsha? My Marsha, like that's Nicole's name. My Marsha, you know from what's that film with Toni Collette called? My Marsha, my perfect Marsha, the daughter in it. In her shoes. That's what it was. I'm obsessed with.
Oh yes, that was pretty good. The classic as well.
Well, on ITV at the moment, there's like Drag Karaoke Club, which has a huge mix of like drag queens from like around the UK. Danny Beard's on it. Bangers on it.
What's the concept of that show?
So they basically swing open the doors. There's fuckloads of booze. Like, I mean, fuckloads of booze. You get absolutely shit-faced. The Vivian's on it. Manila Luzon is on it. Trinity the Tuck is on it. Free to Slaves. There's tons. And so they all have to pick a karaoke song. Now, some of them are terrible singers. Like, how if I was to go up and sing a song, I would do, clearly, Westlife, Flying Without Wings. Obviously, that's
course.
A karaoke song. And some of them are really, really good. And then they do a karaoke battle. Sophie Ellis Bextor popped up in an episode there and sang with one of the girls. And then they vote someone off and a new person arrives at the karaoke club the next day. So it's kind of like set up in this club pub type thing, and it's all about drinking, like gossiping.
And is it called Drag Karaoke Club?
Yeah. It's all drag.
I have to say, I actually hate the sound of that. Like, it just sounds like hell, to be honest.
I quite liked it because some of the girls really struggle to sing. So, like, I just love seeing someone. Like, I would prefer to see a bad karaoke singer than someone who's absolutely going to come up and do the Adele song they've done 564 times at every karaoke club forever.
I feel like that's like ITV2 or something, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whoever is fucking programming their stuff, like, some of the fucking programs are atrocious. I saw another one there, like, it was actually the Vivian was on it, and she was on it with like Scarlett Moffat and what was that called? It was like they had to do challenges, like eat like beans out of a wash machine.
Oh god,
so weird stuff like that. I was like, what? So I watched it because I actually only watched it because the Vivian was on it.
That sounds like our shows in Zoom. Like,
well, do you know what? It might be when the next one comes around. But I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was just like, it just was actually mental. I was like, who's coming up with these fucking ideas? And like, are they actually getting the viewing figures?
Right. Okay. Well, I think ITV2 is quite popular, like, because we don't really have that over here. I think that's quite popular. But also, my favorite thing is when they start to shove drag queens on things in full drag in very normal situations. Like, they had Cheryl Hole on some sort of like farming show, and all of a sudden she's in full drag on the farm, and I'm like, okay. This is fucking gas.
I feel like everyone is a drag queen these days. Like, it's like drag is now like so accessible. Mm-hmm. Whereas before it was kind of felt like it was a bit special, a bit kind of different, a bit random. I feel like every cunt on every corner is a fucking drag queen now.
Yeah. It's basically, if your OnlyFans doesn't get the subscribers, Asher, I'll do drag instead. Do you know what I mean?
A bit of drag. Yeah. Like, fucking any cunt with a lipstick in their drawer is a drag queen now. You're like, what the fuck?
And listen, me and Davina aren't coming for your OnlyFans gig, so fuck off coming for our drag gig.
Yeah, and you can still keep it. They're not changing the terms and conditions. So go get your pull your knickers off and sort yourself out.
Well, I'm obsessed with that. It's honestly trash TV, but it is my ideal viewing. I'm really struggling to sleep at the moment. If anyone has any tips, I've had a lot of work anxiety with so many reschedules going on, but I'm really struggling to switch off at night. Every single night, it's like a battle to get to sleep. So I actually bought two books. So now I'm going to be the book queen, I think, that will like try and make me sleep. One I don't think is going to be very me. Like, I actually don't, like, there was such little options in WH Smith in the airport. One is called Once, Twice, Three Times in Aisling, which, to be honest, I think I'm going to hate straight away.
Jesus.
This one, though.
You're pulling out all the doozies today, aren't you?
Oh, all
drag
the
karaoke, Once, Twice, Three Times in Aisling. Oh, here. I'm about to log off this call.
wait, but I'm into this one. So this is called A Guarded Life by an ex-policewoman, okay? Wow. And in 1984, Magella Moynihan, a young Garda recruit, was charged with breaching on Garda. She called it disciplinary rules for having premarital sex with another guard, becoming pregnant and having a child. She was pressured to give up the baby for adoption or face dismissal, forcing her into a decision that would have a devastating impact on her life. Well, I'm dying to get back into that.
Is it a true story?
Yeah, it's a true story.
Okay.
It's a memoir.
I'll wait for the TV movie.
I don't know if we're going to get it. It's only €12.60 in WH Smith.
Probably not. Probably not.
So I'm going to try become a reading queen, but if anyone has any tips on, I don't know, switching off.
I always think like listening to like an audiobook or something like that always like, because you kind of just, you're listening, but then like after a couple of chapters you're gone. Even if you get that far.
The problem at the moment is that I listen to so many podcasts and all of them are about Erica Jane and the scandal that's going on. So I get so bet into it that I can't even switch off during a podcast anymore. I'm like, oh my God, what's the latest with Erica Jane?
What did you make of the Tom Girardi kind of accosted by the reporters?
Oh, yes. Okay. So firstly, he did look ill. I thought straight away, I was like, there's something not right there. Like, he definitely looks, I don't know, like some sort of brain / dementia type thing is going on.
Well, people who have dementia usually have that kind of vacant, kind of like wasting kind of look, which is like, it's very distinctive.
Yeah.
And he definitely had that, like, to some degree, because there's lots of different levels of dementia. Do you know what I mean? Like, some of them can be controlled with medication and it can be kind of prolonged. And then some of it just moves very progressively. So, he definitely didn't look well, for sure. And do you know, I think he kind of paused. I think they asked the question, like, does Erica know what the gravity of the situation is?
Yeah.
I think, because he said, I think she knows.
Yeah.
And not that, like, I think she knew what, like, I don't think that's what he meant, what he had heard, you know? So that's what I think.
I think you're right. Like, honestly, I didn't enjoy the video, if that makes sense, even though it's scandalous. I don't think the reporter, like, you're being a dick, basically. You are being a dick. The man doesn't look well. And I know he's done, like, I mean, it looks fairly clear that he's done lots of bad shit, but also, like, that has to be very stressful on his family member that was with him. I don't know. I just think, like, leave it to the courts now. It's in their hands.
I think as well, though, there's such a big thing about, like, you know, because she lived the high life and had it all, and people love seeing someone just fall down, don't they?
Yeah, well, like, I'm dying to see you fall down, like, absolutely dying. I'm going to push you down the stairs.
Oh, listen, I'm going to sit down in a few minutes.
I have been housewife obsessed. This week has been already an amazing start. Both Potomac and Salt Lake City D were so scandalous. Have you watched both of them?
Of course. Like, I practically watched them live.
Like,
I didn't watch them now on Sunday, but I usually watch them live. I stream Bravo, so I like watch it. And I love to get in the hashtags. You see all the, like, the people tweeting live. I actually made this friend, this hilarious girl. She's called New Jersey Princess or something on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And she followed me, and she's always tweeting the housewives, but I think it was like her basement flooded or something. Remember those flash floods in New York?
Yeah.
She's caught up in that. So I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So we have this weird, like, housewife bond, but she's really cool.
Well,
like,
that makes a change kind of, from you fighting on Twitter to making a friend on Twitter.
Well, listen, if there's one way to get me on side is to talk about housewives.
Well, I'm telling you now, Candace is fucking rotten me. She's a rude bastard. And the way she talks about her mother, and I'm like, you're more like your mother than you realize. Like, you're actually the double of her. And
that mother is a beast, isn't she?
But at least she's real, because Candace thinks she's all sugar and sweet.
No, that mother is not real. That mother is actually just like a conniving cow. She's just she's loving that the cameras are around. She's playing up every time. Every time she's loving it. Do you notice as well? You can always tell she lost a bit of weight and she's like kind of like putting a bit of makeup on and making effort. So she's doing that for the camera. So she knows exactly what she's doing, that mother. And she's a therapist. She's going to her for therapy. Like, she'd actually.
Is she not a life coach now?
Well, like everyone else, fucking life coach these days. She sends you over the fucking edge.
Yeah, absolutely. However, I'd love to go for cocktails with her, because I feel like she'd rip the back off all of them and you'd have a great time.
The editors of the Potomac episode, I have to say, they deserve a medal. Like, I was actually howling out loud when like Karen's kept making all these faces and she's like, ooh.
psychedelic moments. And the way they kept putting the sound bites in of the flies,
oh God, that was bad, wasn't it? It was just making Giselle's house look like it was an actual shithole.
Yeah. Well, come here, listen, inside that house is weird as hell. Like, weird as hell. It doesn't make sense in any way.
No, it's so strange. Like, houses that have like extensions onto them, and then they're completely different, like, sections of the house.
Yeah,
like, just not in style with the actual other parts of the house. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm feeling like, where's Monique? She'd sort this security. Where's Monique? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And then Salt Lake City is like, I'm sorry, Meredith Marks is insane. The way she walked across the ice, like honestly, it was like, you know the way people talked about Britney's walk? This is far more iconic.
Do you know, I have to say, she was giving me major me vibes when she was walking towards there, because I would have been like, I don't want to fucking go to this. And I'm being pulled by fucking production to go and do this. I would have been exactly the same. I would have been dragging my heels so I don't have to get there as quick as I can. So I waste loads of time. God. And then when I get there, I'd be like, I don't want to be here. And then if one bitch just kicked off, I'd be like, she's gonna get it.
Oh my god. Obsessed. Well, like, she really gave it to her, but I am glued to see what's coming next, because like,
I think she gave it to her so she could get out of there. So she's just like, I've done my bit, I've given you drama, I'm fucking out of here. Because she just seemed in really bad form. She's just like, she didn't want to do, she wanted to be doing it.
Yeah. I did.
And I can relate.
I did enjoy, well, I can't remember who was in the house, but someone was in the house slagging Jen off to Brooks and Meredith. And Brooks was just sitting there grinning, ear to ear, loving as they ripped the back off like Jen. So there's probably more to that story than meets the eye.
Oh, 100%. So if you're not into Potomac and Salt Lake City, you need to get into it. Salt Lake City is only one season and it's very juicy. My friend Stevie, actually, who hates The Housewives, he was like, he sent me the teaser and he was like, what's all this about?
Yeah.
And then I said, so I kind of explained, he's like, oh my God, I actually might watch that. Like, that, it's that how good. So if it can turn people like Stevie to fine.
Gas. Well, one more thing before we wrap this up. My friend from America was in Ireland at the weekend and he turned on Fair City and he was like, girl, I'm obsessed. He was like, the acting, I can't. He's like, it's like, oh, hello Sinead, how are you today? And he kept like doing like impressions of it. I was cackling.
I know like a few people that are actually in Fair City, so the odd time I'd kind of see it, and I kind of like, there was a bit of scandal, like, but you know, they had like murders and stuff like this happening, so I've seen it like over the last little while, not like religiously, but dipped in and out. And the one thing that I just think is hilarious, because all these soaps, they're like, they all have social distancing.
Yes.
Like even in like EastEnders and whatever, like, but they just do it in such a professional way. But because I think there's like less cast in Fair City, there's like, maybe they're in Carrickstown, which is supposed to be like a little bubbling suburb, and there's like, you know, nobody fucking around, like nobody. It's like the apocalypse of like Dublin Nine or whatever. And then there's like these people that are all like 3 meters apart, and you're like having a conversation with like Mary and she's like on the end of the street. Like, it's so obvious. And then it's kind of gas, but it's been going, like, I think, like 35 years.
I think it still gets the viewers, so good on them. But also, I've heard rumors that, like, they literally get only one take at those scenes. So they have to just either, if it's going awful, you have to curse. That's the rumor I heard, that you have to curse. So you have to retake it.
I also heard that some of the cast just never learn their lines, ever. So that they're just like, literally, like, they are like looking at their script right before the thing, which also gives very me energy.
That is literally us before a panto.
Like looking at script and then going like, I told you I'd meet Jim McCoy's.
Hamming it up, trying to like overact it, so they're like,
although I saw a couple of weeks ago, actually, just when I was walking through the kitchen, it was on, and it was like, which I am kind of a little bit slightly obsessed about, is that they have Sharon Curley is like one of the main cast members, you know, from The Snapper.
You're kidding. The original Sharon Curley?
The original Sharon Curley is in, she's in Fair City now for like full time, and her sister, who was the sister in The Snapper, is playing her sister in Fair City. And the two of them are having a scene, and I was like, oh my God. And they're, both of those actresses are actually kind of fab. Actually brilliant, and I love the two of them together, because in my head they're like Sharon, and I can't remember the sister's name from The Snapper, but they're great together.
Oh my God, I love that. Oh, that nearly makes me want to watch, because she's so iconic.
She is.
But anyway, that was our little girly gossip. Before we move on, we're going to pause for a little petty promotional moment. Davina shot this mockumentary reality TV show style thing about a decade ago called Davina Defined, which we did a live react Dragobox episode, which you can find only on our Patreon, where you can find bonus episodes, bonus videos. There's actually tons of content over there. You can join it on patreon.com/paylittlethingspod. And our Patreon member of the week is Aaron Byrne, who, you will know, Davina, has come to shows for honestly the best part of a decade.
I know. We haven't seen you in a while, Aaron. So hopefully we will see you very soon, IRL, in real life. But thanks for signing up to our Patreon. Hope you enjoy all the little tidbits.
And that's it. But still to come, Davina, what do we have?
Coming up, we have actually an explosive, exclusive interview, which we adored recording. And we're so excited to share it with you. We were like going to kind of put it in the maybe the first book. So we were kind of, I wanted to hold it back, but we're like, no, we're going to give it to you today. She does not hold back. She talks about like the highs, lows, trials, tribulations, celebrity run-ins, everything. We have an amazing talk with DJ Lady Lloyd from London.
From London. And it's honestly probably the juiciest interview. Well, it's up there in the top three of juicy interviews that we've ever done.
If you don't know much about Lady Lloyd, Lady Lloyd has been working on the scene for like nearly the same time as us, and she has seen it all. And she's had a lot of like, you know, troubles herself, and she just talks about all of it. Like, she's so honest and in such a good place. So it's not to be missed.
Obsessed. Okay. And you can catch our rotter straight after that. But we'll be back straight after this interview.
Well, guys, we are joined by a very, very special friend of the show. And actually,
she's just another. Yeah, just she's another just friend another. Of the show.
She's just another friend of the show.
Just another.
She's a London's.
Just another.
She's London's OG queen of the decks. It is DJ Lady Lloyd is in the house tonight. Hi,
hello,
Lady
good
Lloyd.
Evening.
So lovely to have you on. So lovely to see you again. It's been too long.
Lovely to be here. Nice to see you too as well.
Well, of course, Lloyd DJed.
Surviving.
Yeah, so then tell us about it, yeah. Like, Lloyd DJed for both our Pride parties the last two. And we were going to get you back again, only for a little thing called a pandemic.
Has there not
happened.
Been one since?
No.
Nothing.
Blame Lauren Harries.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Blame Lauren Harry. She destroyed the Pride party.
She killed the buzz.
I mean, she really did.
The original cock destroyer.
Did you get her like 8-minute mega mix of Upperdo?
No, I think the original was just long enough, to be honest.
I think we had the extended 12-inch version, and it was more like the sort of 18-inch version. It went on and on and on.
Well, come here, listen.
And there's only one verse.
I know.
My record.
Well, listen, thanks again for coming on and having a chat with us.
My pleasure.
We were hunting you for quite a while, trying to get you on, and just we said now is the perfect time. So like, we just wanted to kind of talk to you all about the, well, of course, you're up in action now. You're actually working tonight. You're back DJing, back behind the booth.
We're at Bombshell tonight.
Ooh, and tell, because listen, I've been seeing Bombshell ads constantly, like over the last couple of years. Tell us, what is Bombshell? Because it always looks like a great night, great fun.
Well, Bombshell started after the Tea Shack.
Okay.
A pub that can't be named. And
that was in Soho.
Basically, in Soho. That was at Madame Jojo's. And me and Tasty used to DJ there. And it was ran by Dusty O. Yeah. And it was a review bar before that.
R.I.P. Dusty.
And, yeah. And when that closed, it became a place, you know, where everybody was dressing up. It was really exciting. It was always on a Wednesday when there's nothing else to do. So when that Dusty O kind of took a step back from the scene and Madame Jojo's closed. And so basically on a Wednesday, there was nothing to do for people that like to get dressed up. Obviously, me and Tim were like, okay, well, let's do a club. So we started Bombshell and we basically shut down every venue it ever went to. We went to the Shadow Lounge. It shut like a fortnight after. We went to the Black Cap. It shut the next day.
Oh my God.
we went to a place called Muse Bar 69. There was something else in between, and we were just so unlucky. It was really in that time when everything was just closing. I don't know if that same thing happened in Dublin.
Oh, I've closed several bars.
Like, rents went sky high. Me too. And we were like, God, this club's not meant to be. But it was always a success.
It's infamous.
Yeah. Oh, and it was at her upstairs, then it was at them downstairs. They shut down. we were cursed. So we thought, let's go downstairs in the club at the Koo Bar. The Koo Bar has been there for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
If we close that place down, then we really know that this is not good news. But we're there, and it's just a place to get dressed up. You know, sometimes people think it's like a trans club or something like that, but it really is. I mean, our sort
just
of
just express yourself,
is,
kind of like it's
TVGS, non-binary friends and lovers. We call it. We don't say admirers anymore because that sounds a bit funny.
I do.
Although I said, people don't really like that anymore, but I said, well, how lovely to be admired, you know?
It is. I think so too. While you were mentioning all those things, Lloyd, I was just thinking, like you have been doing drag for like a long time, like probably the same as us. Like, you are like one of the OG queens that have been around. So how long have you been
doing
drag?
Which is strange, because I still feel young, and I still feel I still feel like I look up to everybody and that I look to other people. I'm not used to sort of giving advice or things like that. I look to, you know, like the people who are just sort of 10, maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 5 years older than me, but like Tacey Tim and Princess Jude and all this. Yeah. I feel like they're like the generation before me. But I guess, I have been doing it for over 20 years and been working full time over 20 years. So I guess I am an old fogey now.
That's amazing. But I think that's the joy of drag and the beauty of drag is that you constantly keep evolving and changing. And it's only when you
you say that. I don't. Do you change your look? I just cannot.
No, I just mean like personally. Like,
personally,
I kind of get. I'm stuck in a look. I'm like, that's my look.
Stuck.
Yeah, I like that's my look.
Davina's using her own brows at the moment, and that's pretty much the most change that has occurred in the last 10 years, I'd say.
Yeah.
Well, I've always had mine. I just take the bottom bit off so that it goes a little bit more femme.
A little angle. So you must have seen the whole scene change like dramatically. Like in, because London is just so much more fast paced, obviously, like than Dublin is. But you must have seen a change completely in those 20 years.
I think most thing what's changed is that everybody is a lot more comfortable to just go wherever. I mean, when Bombshell and The Shack and The Way Out were running, it really was. I mean, it sounds a bit strange because obviously the 80s were so colourful and powerful and gender sort of bending, if you like.
Yeah.
But it really felt like we were kind of, there was about 10 or 15 of us and that was it. Like actually working. It was like me, Dusty, Tasty, Ritzy Crackers, Glendora, people like that. And we used to struggle. We used to have like guest performers and it'd be like, oh my God, who can we get? Oh, fuck's sake, get her again.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't that many people. Yeah. There wasn't that many of us. So I mean, that was great because people would come to you. They'd be like, oh, just get Lady to the Wish again. She can DJ. And so that works. But now, of course, everybody is a drag queen. I mean, I said to my friend, this kind of doesn't make sense, but I was like, even the boys are drag queens now.
Yeah.
In the, it's always like the drag queen's boyfriends for doing drag. Like when I used to have my boyfriends, I'd be like, don't you dare. And they had no interest in it. now I'm like, even the boys are doing drag. What's going on?
It's true. It is a bit of a cardinal sin, isn't it?
It's just overtaken.
Yeah.
And it's marvelous. And it's also a bit boring sometimes.
Yeah.
And but fabulous as well. I don't know.
And it's, you know, like the way the scene in London is so big. So there's like, you know, obviously there was Soho and that was all like the GAY bars and the Koo bars and all that. Mm-hmm. And then of course there was like the Vauxhall.
The East End.
Yeah. And then the East End. And
Vauxhall, God rest its soul. Yeah. Because nothing fucking goes on in Vauxhall anymore.
Yeah. So like, what has London as a whole, like the club and scene, has that all kind of changed? Has it calmed down? What's it like now?
I don't know. It feels like we've opened up to be more mixed. I really remember when like the sort of Hoxton and the East End stuff really took off. It really had its big moment for, you know, 5-10 years. It really was like a rivalry between all of us. I don't know where it came from or who it came from.
Was that some bitch?
It was like you just would not get asked to go and work there and they would not come to us. Whereas now it feels much more like we're all friends. I don't know if that's just my sort of peers and my generation, but maybe we've hit that age where we've all calmed down. We're not really fighting each other anymore, which is so nice.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
It feels like there's room for everybody now because there's a lot of money going around. There's a lot of new nights, and also there's a lot of new nights that have come up that aren't from people that's like grassroots that are really into it. It's like promoter nights and straight places doing the brunches and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh God, you know, when you have like, not that I've ever not been friends with them, but like people that run the Glory and things like that. Yeah. We just like, I think both of us are like, God, thank God for you. Thank God for Bombshell. Thank God for the Glory.
Right.
It came up from a place of, you know, want and need and like sincerity, not like money.
Yeah.
You know?
And a proper queer space. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I think we're all kind of realized we all band together and we all actually love each other. And that's my experience anyway. Yeah. Like I've got so much love for all the different places. Whereas 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh, I'm not working there. who have they got on tonight? Oh, she's dreadful.
Like,
they were thinking the same about me. They're like, oh God, Lady Lloyd. Oh, all she does is wear Vivian Westwood. How boring. you know what I mean? Oh, she just plays Ocean Eye Terrain Records. We don't want her. Whereas now it really feels like I'm getting, you know, work from so many people, and so many people that I thought were almost out of my reach, or that I thought were too fabulous and would just hate me because I'm like the pop girl, you know, are coming to work at Bombshell on my nights. And people like Jean-Benet Blonde and John Sizzle and things like that, you know, they're the people I was always like, wow, look at them. But actually, they were sort of thinking the same about me, so they say to my face. So I think there's a bit of a full circle moment from people of my age anyway.
Totally. Like, I did gigs over there years ago, I remember, and I had met like Jodie Harsh for the first time. She was only kind of starting out like around that time as well. And there was, I remember just sensing that there was such a big divide, and obviously London is a massive place.
Everybody hated Jodie. but it was all just jealousy, you know?
Yeah.
It was all jealousy, you know, even from me, not from a nasty, bitter space. But
you
just
wanted
like,
her wig.
Wow, look at how amazing she is. No, I never wanted her wig. I never wanted her wig, but she's absolutely lovely, and I think she's the same. I can see her lifting up other people and getting people work and offering, you know, love and stuff. I don't know. I think definitely it's a time of slight reflection. We're all still going. You know, good luck to us all.
It's great to see, I think.
It's like, nice.
Yeah.
Are you still ripping at each other's throats and ripping each other's wigs off?
No.
Honestly, the only reason we haven't is because we got to... we had to work the last year. I needed her and she needed me, and we spent a year on virtuals and we needed each other. But next year, we plan on having a falling out next year. That would be like cute.
It's something really big.
A planned falling out always works.
It is. Possibly abroad could be good.
What we loved about you is that you are a pop queen because there's a lot of DJ snobbery, let's just call it that. And for a while, especially in the George, we were like, oh, we need more pop, like more at the pop. Weekend and Davina, you really brought pop on.
I'm a pop pusher for sure.
I fought for pop for a long time, even the Koo Bar and Village and places like this that I've worked for a long time. Every like year or two, it'll be like, oh, the music, you know, we need to change it to like more housey, more electro. And then literally like 6 weeks later, they're like, oh, we're going back to pop. I mean, I never budge. I just love that Lady Gaga quote where she said, pop music will never be lowbrow. You know, and really good pop songs are the hardest to write. You know, I've got a lot of respect for pop music. So I think, you know, I just really push that.
And can I ask, because I DJ pop as well, and I love, that's what, like, we loved your set, like, because it's pure right up our street. But do you ever come across people that actually just kind of, it's classified, they're like, that doesn't count, it's not real DJing. Do you know that kind of way? Just because it's pop, it's like, it is that total snobbery.
Well, you know, it is just pressing buttons. I'm not a superstar mixer, I never have been, but I can do it if it calls to it, you know. To mix, you just have to be able to count to four, but a lot of people can't count to four.
That's true.
Time, you know what I mean? You see it when they're at a concert and they're clapping off the beat, and you're like, what are you doing? So,
wow, you know, so she just came for me.
But, I've seen you dance too.
Dance is a loose word.
So I just think, I think, you know, it's served me very well.
Yeah.
And it served Soho well. I really did fight for it. And I do think I have to give myself some credit. I think I've helped shape the sound of Soho for 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. when it was going that way, I was pushing back against mm-hmm. it. I was like, the kids want pop. They want what they know. They want what they can sing to. Mm. And that to me is Soho, you know? Like you said, I used to go to Vauxhall and I'd ramp it up a bit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you go out east, you're going to get a bit of your fancy, schmancy
songs, you whoever's, songs that know words.
Whoever's making noise at the moment, Charlie XCX, but she's as pop as they come.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it will just always have its place.
And who
and it's
is
important to
who,
have those
who
places.
Is your favourite pop queen? Because we know you love your divas. And I like,
Shania.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that, which is kind of not what you would think.
I was going to say, she's going to say Madonna.
Yeah, like.
I think Madonna is the best to ever do it and forever and ever will be. But when I was growing up, I didn't like her. I liked Cyndi Lauper. And I was obsessed with Cyndi Lauper. Me and Monroe Bergdorf were obsessed with her. We used to have everything. And we kind of ignored Madonna for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. But now I recognise and I'm like, there is just, nobody's ever going to do it as good as that.
No,
you know?
No.
So, yeah. So Madonna, but you know, I don't listen to her a whole lot in my own time. I listen to country
and
all the time.
Speaking of pop divas and like being in like London, the London look, the capital of all things pop and fabulousness, like you must have worked alongside like lots of pop stars mm-hmm. over the years. And mm-hmm. like, we know that you hung out with Kesha a lot. You're friends with, really good friends with Siobhan from Sugar Babes.
Yeah, my baby.
Yeah, like you're very close, aren't you? You guys are like very tight.
Yeah, it's my best friend. I mean, we met when just as Overload came out, we met when she performed it at Top of the Pops.
Wow.
And it's sort of that famous story that she was so nervous. That's how they ended up on like the three stools and it became a bit sort of iconic, the sort of dance routine on the stools, because she couldn't stand up.
Wow.
And my boyfriend at the time was working at Top of the Pops and I was like, who is this redheaded girl who's basically, it was basically a solo song, you know?
Yeah.
And I just thought, who's this redheaded girl that's taking all the vocals of these three? And I was just very much drawn to her and we just became friends like overnight.
That's amazing. That's really
cool.
And
she's amazing. Yeah. Like as a writer, I've got so much respect for her.
Yeah.
And of course, as a friend.
She's good.
And yeah, Kesha, we did the song Pretty Lady together, which was quite cool.
Wow, okay.
It was all about drag.
Yeah.
What was the line? Boy, you're such a pretty lady. It's quite clever.
Oh, yeah, that's cute. I love
it. And
then she was like, if this comes out on the record, you're going to be fucking rich. And then what happened? It leaked on YouTube. And then that was it.
Oh,
she was like,
no.
Not coming in. You know that time when everybody's songs were just leaking?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was sat there thinking, oh, God, please, please, please. He's going to make me some money because I'm forever in one hand and out the other, you know?
Yeah. Oh, listen, that's the life of a drag queen, I think.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, everything just goes back into drag. But we had a really good time. That was when she was touring extensively. And she, you know, she got me, I kind of got a group together and we used to have about 10 girls, you know, drag queens, trans girls, whatever. And I have to say, she's the only person I've worked with for and with that really put, she was like, all these girls have to be paid for everything they do. You know, the management would be like, oh, just get them. They want to be on stage at Wembley and stuff. And she, you know, in the emails was like, no, every girl gets, you know, her fee.
Brilliant.
Every time. And yeah, we did everywhere. I even did Glastonbury with Bagger. Actually,
I
took Bagger on the tour bus and we were in the mud. And Bagger actually lost her wristband, VIP wristband. So she had to stay on the bus. She wasn't allowed to come on the stage.
Oh,
she wasn't allowed to go to the party.
Oh.
So she sat on the tour bus, sulked and sulked and sulked, and we were out getting absolutely wrecked, slinging mud at each other.
I love that. I love that. And of course, it's like,
I was like, this thing was on your wrist. How have you lost it? I don't know, girl. No.
And tell us, like, so, like, obviously Kesha is, and Siobhan's fab. Like, is there any pop stars that you've run into in the clubs or that you've seen, like, that have just been absolute fucking nightmares?
Justin Bieber.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What was
he was very young, but I remember. But he literally screamed at me and slammed the door in my face.
What? What did he scream at you?
At Wembley Stadium. He was like, you know, sort of not like homophobic stuff, but just like, what the fuck, you know?
Oh, wow. Oh, right.
You know what? He was a kid. And I think I was with Daniel Lisboa, you know? And I think most people would say, what the fuck? In a fabulous way. But, you know, it's quite a mind fuck to see Daniel Lismore when you're not expecting to.
Right.
As to be absolutely as fabulous as he is.
Yeah.
So, that's
Justin.
Funny. And then Justin, so his card is marked. And so is Kate Moss, because she threw me out the women's toilets once at a Vogue party.
You are joking.
No.
Yeah.
Fucking no.
She was. I know. She was like, get the fuck out the women's. And I was with Roisin Murphy. This is such a name drop. And Roisin was like, don't fucking say that to my friend. And she was like, get the fuck out. And I was like, this is just absolutely fabulous. Please carry on. I was like, I want to get beaten by Kate by Roisin. I was like, more, insult me more, Kate.
Oh my God.
You know, and it's a kind of thing that, you know, drunken, funny nonsense. But of course, nowadays, you probably kick up a real fuss. But of course, I just found it funny.
I had a friend once who got hit by a handbag by Naomi Campbell at London Fashion
Week.
Wow. Yeah. So
but is this not what you want?
No.
Is this what you want?
Yeah, she still talks about it to this day.
As long as she doesn't leave a bruise, it's fine. No, hit me where it hurts.
Yeah, you want a scar, not a bruise. And come here.
Nicole Kidman. Why am I thinking of Nicole Kidman? Who did you say? Naomi.
Naomi
Campbell. Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, that's a good one. One thing that I personally really want to know is, and now this was, I kind of broached it with you the last time, and you were like, I can't really remember. Do you remember there was a big scandal with Pete Burns back? Do you remember there was something had happened? And like, I can't remember what the scandal
was. Why was I in the middle of it?
Yeah.
I know why, because I was running around town with his boyfriend.
Is that what it was? Is that what it was? Yeah, so what was, because it was like, there was a headline was like, Pete's been snubbed for like a younger model or something.
It's, it was Pout of Order. That's what it said.
Oh, Pout of Order. God, I love it.
As boyfriend shows up with younger, prettier, sexier version. And I thought, version of what? What are you saying here?
Yeah.
Are you just saying because we've both got blonde hair? Because, hello?
We're very different.
I'm far off from Pete. But, you know, I have so much respect and admiration for Pete.
Of course.
At that time, the boyfriend, we were just friends. And he came to one of my things. They were a bit estranged at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally just walked around to a club together. And Pete saw red and literally... threw a bottle at me.
Oh,
why
God.
Am I always getting beaten up?
Was the bottle full, like,
Bagger's going to attack me now. She's going to attack me, I can see. And, you know, it just became like, you know, Pete was unwell, so...
Yeah. And did you make peace?
A bit of a shame, but...
Did you ever make peace after that? Or was it just kind of... That
we
was
did
it?
See each other a few times at the clubs, and it was fine, but I was always very nervous. I mean, he did... It was like a hate campaign. I mean...
Oh, wow.
It was like a good month of like... I had like 600 voicemails saying, I'm going to cut your balls off, you cocky blonde bitch.
Oh, that's my.
She thought I was sleeping with the husband, and I wasn't. I couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was just madness, and it was kind of, and it was madness.
Yeah.
Like I said, he wasn't well.
Yeah.
But it also, from a side point of view, it was quite scary. I mean, it was like,
imagine,
coming down to heaven tonight to brick you and things like that. You know, Pete is a force not to mess with.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So it was a bit of wrong place, wrong time, and also like a funny headline.
Yeah.
And things like that. But I mean, Pout of Order, I do like that.
Yeah. And I
and the best thing was Barbara Bush got arrested the same night.
No way.
That was quite funny.
For what?
Oh, for getting involved. For scrapping. Barbara Bush was the first drag queen I ever met. She was fabulous.
I love it. I love the sound of her. And one thing that actually that you and Pete do have in common is that you actually both love Vivian Westwood.
Yeah.
You love Viv. And you modelled for Vivian Westwood. Like, tell us a little bit about that.
As well, with lots of people. Well, I was just known for wearing it around the club scene and at the ghetto.
A lot of queens were kind of big into the Westwood, weren't they?
Yeah. And she, funnily enough, after I did it, I remember lots of drag queens were wearing it. And she said, but I don't make clothes for drag queens. And I said, well, you've put me in your show. You've put me in your advertising campaign. I'm a drag queen. And she said, no, you're much more interesting than that.
Oh, I love
it. And
that.
I thought, well, okay, the stamp of approval there.
Absolutely.
And I think, I don't remember. Actually, I did see her once in the street with Pete, funny enough, at some sort of event. And I remember her going absolutely crazy because Pete owed her about 50 grand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, on a tab. She was like, give me all my back, my clothes. But that was just from wearing it, really. And I bumped into Murray, who's literally one of her main designers for like 20 years or longer. And he just said they were looking for a model to open the show who could, you know, give them a bit of a wow moment.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing. I wore a tiny little pair of knickers, which said fair trial, my arse on the back. And it was for it was for people that had been locked up in Guantanamo Bay without... without having a proper trial and things like that. Okay. And she just said, and I was like strapped up, my willy pulled between my bum cheeks. Uh-huh. And the show, of course, was like 4 hours late and I was desperate for a piss.
Oh my God.
And I thought, I'm going to fall down these stairs. It's like my favourite designer. I'm opening this huge catwalk, her big return to the London catwalk. Mm-hmm. I was so nervous. I'd met her that first day and she was going around and she was like, I don't like the makeup. Everybody looks the same. And so she grabbed an eyeliner pencil and was going around drawing moustaches on everybody. And I thought, please, don't come and draw a moustache on me. I was like, please, please, please. And luckily she didn't. I was like, thank God. I was like, this is my moment. She's going to draw a fucking tiny little moustache on me.
This is your moment.
She didn't. She said to me, now, when you get to the end of the catwalk, turn around and flash them your asshole.
Oh, no way.
God. And I thought, and I hadn't thought of that. I, you know, when you're young, I didn't think, of course, they need to see what's written on the bum of the pants.
Yeah.
So I got to the end of the catwalk, I turned around and I stood there for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it was on the cover of all the newspapers, amazing. My backside. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
That's
and
unreal.
She's just absolutely amazing. I mean, she really, I did everything with her for about 3 or 4 years, you know, all the campaigns and the even performances. She wrote a manifesto and I used to dress up as Alice in Wonderland or a pirate and perform that to like all kids and stuff and all climate change things. It was a real whirlwind. I got to do photographs.
Amazing
with, like,
experience.
Every big photographer photographed me, which is like amazing.
But you've got the face, you know, bitch. You've got the face. Look.
I did have then. And then
you
I,
still do.
And then I stuck this gold tooth on and really did become a pirate.
So we're going to just have to cut that there, unfortunately. If you want to check out the rest of Lady Lloyd's interview, you can check that out over on our Patreon at patreon.net/pettylittlethingspod. Definitely one for the record books. That was really good. I really enjoyed that.
So much hot tea. Plus, we are going to share on our Patreon episode as well a little, because she's the Queen of London, we're going to do a little London flashback to one of our crazier nights out in London. And I don't even know, I haven't told Davina this, but I thought about it while I was getting ready earlier.
I know what you're going to say. I know what it's about. It's about the can of 7-Up, isn't it?
Yes. I just think that's a great, great story. So that will also be on our Patreon episode, plus more from DJ Lady Lloyd. But Davina, have you got the time? What time is it?
Oh, I do. It's our favourite time of the week. It's time for
Rotter of the Week on Petty Little Things.
Yes, it's time for Rotter of the Week, and we are back with our favourite rotters. Of course, you've all been sending us in your rotters. Thank you for using our filter. Don't forget that's still up on Instagram. So do get them sending to us because we want to hear what you got to say and what's been rotting you.
Okay, well, I'm going to kick it off with people, because like Harry Styles and like all that are wearing nail varnish. There's a big trend at the moment with nail varnish. And the original nail varnish queen was Dolly Grip, by the way. If anyone didn't know, she used to paint a thin stripe down the centre of her nail just before a show. Now she's an actual glue-on nail shoe queen. But the reason she used to only do a thin stripe down her nail was because apparently it would elongate the fingers. And to Dolly, I say, that's the least of your problems.
Well, also, when you have sausage rolls for fingers.
Oh, I'd love a sausage roll right now. Oh, yum. So what I'm noticing is that there's kind of a lot of weird mask fellas, those types, who are now getting a fun painted nail. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, yes, have fun with it. But also, like, your personality is not a plant or a painted nail, if that makes sense.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
And if you're trying to equate that with a personality, then that's a real issue.
Yeah, absolutely. However, I do love a painted nail. Not for me personally. Glue those bad boys on way quicker. But yeah, I just think I'm having a good howl at some of the people that are showing up with like a
And also,
nail.
I've seen people with like chipped nail. Like, just take the nail varnish off.
Oh, no, they're into that. They're into that. Like,
no.
Daniel, who I work with over here, I accidentally it went near my acetone while I was cleaning my wigs, and then he got very excited with the reaction because it would look like a dramatic, you know, chipped nail, and he looked very grungy, and I was like, "You're gas, bitch."
Okay, right, very good.
I love that you took a deep breath instead of giving your opinion on that. You're like, "Okay, I'll just be nice. It's fine."
Yeah, because you know I'm eye rolling. You know, yes. I'm eye rolling like a fucking slot machine here, literally. Okay, so my first rot of the week is, and this is going out to, because life is resuming, there's lots of new events coming up and everybody has all these different events. There's brunches and there's shows happening. There's club nights coming back and all these have gorgeous artwork and there's posters and information available and booking systems. And do you know what? I'm not a customer service help desk. So if there is an event coming up that you might want to attend, maybe look at the fucking poster, because yes, most likely all the information will be there. There will be where you can book a table. There will be the time it starts at. Mm-hmm. There will be who's probably on the fucking show. There'll probably be a PPS number and a daytime contact if you look fucking close enough.
Yeah.
So my shout out is, like, you have no idea. It's like, you know, Noah on the Ark, the floodgates fucking opened and everybody just, I don't know if it's like, it's like Dolly always says, it's like people who comment on Facebook say, does anyone know what time Lambs opens at in Ballyferman?
Oh my like, God, yes.
It's the same thing. It's like, what time does the Chinese open at? Fucking ring them.
Yeah.
Like, actually, you're probably on your phone, on your smartphone now typing this. So maybe use fucking Google.
The information is out there. Like, and I hear you, because I'm currently trying to get everyone seated into two different shows for Heidi in the Radisson Blue Hotel, girl. And when I say I read those emails 6 times to make sure that every single detail possibly could be thought of was in there, so nobody would ask me a question. And did not work.
You know, I think some people just want to like have that weird interaction, but it's like, actually, if you're busy doing stuff, it's like, it's so irritating when you've made a point to make sure all the information is there.
Yeah.
And especially for other events, you see them commenting under saying, what time does this start at? And they're like, it says fucking 8 o'clock on the poster. Like, what? I takes everything in my like being not to fucking bite back.
Oh my God.
It's just so silly. Like, obviously ask questions. That's, if you have a genuine question, that's okay. But not something so basic as what's in front of you. It's like saying, Thursday, what day is this on? Fucking Thursday.
No, babes, it's Tuesdays. Oh, we love a good Tuesday on a Thursday. Like, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
And it's only because it's literally just beginning. Like, we're just getting back to real life. It's like, they were probably waiting like 18 months to send out like those stupid questions.
Hello, customer service. Davina Devine speaking. How may I help you? Not. Okay, my next one is, if you're going to post a picture like from your room, if you want to show off your outfit, or you want to, you know, just like put a little update up, stop posting pictures from dirty, dusty rooms. I am sick of seeing filthy backgrounds. Like, if your room is not cute, then go over to a corner of the wall that you can only see the wall. I don't need to see the dust gathering on your unit beside your bed locker. Like, what is that about? People can see and are judging you, like.
Well, I think what everyone needs to take a moment here and realize is that everybody, when there's a photograph goes up, everybody just looks at the background. What's going on in the background? You want to see like what's in the wardrobe, what's on the press. People want to see the like the nitty gritty stuff. They're not actually looking at you in your nice dress or outfit. They're actually looking at like what's going on. So if it's busy, calm down that background, because that could turn in and bite you in the ass as well. God knows, if you have your dildo or whatever on the shelf, like, who knows? But it's like, it's like just so unaware. So just be aware of your background. Like, just hang up some sequin curtains and like, even what you used to, do you know what I mean? Just like have all the shit behind the curtain. It's not that difficult to do.
Yeah, completely. Like, and if there's dust on your dildo, well, I'm very sorry for you. But
no excuse for that.
That's my last writer. What's your last one?
Actually, this is, I've noticed as well, I think, like, you know, the autumn nights are coming back in, and I think people, maybe more students have come back to college, and there's definitely around where I live, there's a lot more, like, I see kind of boot camps are starting up.
Oh, yes.
And like kind of little running clubs and joggers, a lot of joggers are out. And I really resent people when you'll be out walking along and you'll hear like somebody running behind you, but you can almost like they're breathing like and you can literally like literally this one guy ran past and I was like, oh my god, I could actually like smell his breath when he ran past.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just like, gee. And you know, runner's breath is like not the best because they're obviously they're so dehydrated. So I'm like, what did you have, like a Denny's steak and kidney pie or something? Run
fast. Yes.
Like, just gross. Like, please, like,
keep your breath to yourself.
And sorry, we're fucking in a pandemic. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Where it's all about moisture and breathe. Like, run past people. Like, just a little bit of distance. You know, yeah. It's gross. I think it's kind of funny, but at the same time. Gross.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I like that one.
And they're all coming back. And also, like high-vis jackets. What's the story with everyone wearing high-vis jackets out and it's like, it's not even dark yet? What is that about?
Girl, that was a costume that Eamon McKeel made me. How dare you come for me like that?
High-vis, reflective straps, and it's like 6 o'clock. And it's like, bitch, it's like, how long have you been on this walk? Can you see this? You know, a walk, and it's like safety at night or whatever. And you're like, it's still bright. Like, what? Did you leave the house this morning? What are you doing, darkness into light? What is going on?
I knew darkness into light was going to get referenced there. I knew it. I also thought you were going to say something completely different, but that was a good rotter. I very much enjoyed that.
Well, I'm watching you and I'm noting all you joggers.
Okay, well, that is the end of yet another episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Remember, you can get our bonus episode straight away over on patreon.com/pettylittlethingspod. More from DJ Lady Lloyd and our scandalous interview with her. And also, Davina always likes to tell you all to...
just share with a friend, tell a friend about Petty Little Things, share the filter with us. We want to hear from you. We really do, because we really do love hearing your rotters, because they do, like, they're just always so random. And the things that grind our titties, like, I'm sure there's much worse that grinds yours. So get on to us, use our filter or send us a message, get involved, because we do love to hear from you.
We do. Actually, you mentioned the filter. Someone DM'd me and said, wow, was Got Mick not very nice? And I said, why? Because we were using the filter, and I said, well, what's your rudder of the week? And she goes, your makeup. And I was like, girl, that's how drag queens talk to each other. Like,
imagine drag queens were really nice to each other. Like, hello, dear. Oh, would you like to come in here? Come in, my love. No, drag queens are cunts. That's just the way it is.
And she was a fucking gas, like, mad bitch. No, she was lovely. But I just thought it was so funny that someone took it so literal. Like, even rotter of the week, by the way, you guys, in itself, we're just being gas mots. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. It's like, it doesn't actually really, like, play any heat into our life. No. It's just part of the fun.
Absolutely.
So we do, and we just, like, let's face it, we love a good bitch in a moment. Oh, who fucking doesn't? Who doesn't?
Absolutely. Anyway, follow the podcast on Instagram at PettyLittleThingsPod. But until next time,
stay petty. Mwah.
You love to get the last kiss in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.